Here's what will be happening over the next few minutes is I want to share a few thoughts out of Matthew chapter 3. And then after my short devotional, we'll have the candidates come up individually and share their testimonies with us. And so the order is going to be Thomas, Dakota, Ethan, Caleb, Acacia, and Natalie. And so I think they all know that information, but just so that they can be reminded of that fact, because I will not be introducing them. They can come up and introduce themselves and just share their testimonies one after another. This morning I want to share a few thoughts just as we contemplate baptism this morning from the book of Matthew as John here begins his ministry. And John, we know, was a forerunner of Jesus. In fact, he was spoken of in at least two different passages in the Old Testament. We know from Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5, that he is told about that a forerunner would be coming. We also know from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, that a forerunner would be coming. And so, if they knew the Old Testament, they were familiar that preceding the Messiah's coming would be a forerunner. And so Zechariah, who was John's dad, while doing his duty in the temple, he met an angel and informed that he would have a son who would be the forerunner before Jesus. In the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, as the book of Luke shares with us. And so you can just imagine Zechariah's shock as he drew lots. And so his lot came up for him to do his duty and present incense in the temple. And while doing his duty and the people were waiting outside, then he met an angel, and the angel informed him that a son was going to be born to him and Elizabeth. And so John, filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, would have grown up hearing this message and this story from his father. He might have been around the age of 29 to 30 before he began his ministry. So you can imagine over those 30 years, that story would have been told him over and over again, and how that he was destined to be the forerunner for the Messiah. And a few months before Jesus began his ministry, John began his ministry in fulfillment of the prophecy in the wilderness of Judea and calling people to repent. Upon their repentance, he was baptizing them in the Jordan River. And John began baptizing. Jesus continued baptizing, as we read in John 4, verse 1, where it says there in John 4, 1, that Jesus wasn't actually baptizing, it was his disciples. But it does say there that Jesus was baptizing. And then he commanded the church to keep on with the practice, as we read in Matthew 28, verse 19. And so John began it, Jesus continued it, set the example throughout the New Testament, but then also commanded us, his children, that we might pursue baptism and be obedient to his command that he placed upon us. In fact, we know of no unbaptized believers in the New Testament except the thief on the cross, which we read about in Luke 23, verse 43. And so the practice throughout the New Testament was that believers would be baptized and would follow the Lord in obedience through baptism. Peter's message to the people in Acts chapter 2 was to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so there is Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost there. He got up and he spoke to the people. And that was the message that he left for them. And I'm sure if Peter was here this morning, that would be the same message that he would be telling us as well. To repent and to be baptized as well. And so if you have your Bibles open this morning, I want to read some verses, the chapter 3 of Matthew. And so I just want to start reading at Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and let me read through to the end of this chapter. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When a Jewish person received John's baptism, it was a radical act of individual commitment to belong to the true people of God, based on personal confession and repentance, not on corporate identity with Israel through birth. And so you can just imagine, from a cultural aspect, it was a major deal in their culture to be baptized and to walk in the waters of baptism at that time. John's baptism was a radical attack on the false security that their circumcision was good enough. He infuriated the Pharisees by calling the people to renounce reliance on the sign of covenant that they had got when they were infants, and to receive another sign to show that they were not relying on Jewish birth, but on the mercy of God received by repentance and faith. It was not a simple continuation of circumcision. It was an indictment of misuse of circumcision as a guarantee of salvation. And so they had a cultural background believing that they were in the apple of God's eye, and they are as a people group. But here, what he's calling them to is, he's calling to something radically different: to come in repentance and faith and to receive baptism. John's baptism was a sign of personal individual repentance, not a sign of birth into a covenant family. John was calling for repentance and offering a new sign, baptism, a sign of repentance and faith that a person chooses for himself. It's not good enough for your parents to be baptized. It's not good enough for your history or your relatives to be baptized. John is calling that it's an individual decision where you make a choice to come in repentance and faith before him, and to then to walk through the waters of baptism as an indication, as a picture of what has already taken place. John's baptism is the beginning of the radical individual Christian ordinance of baptizing those who believe. And so our call this morning as well, as each of these individuals, as they share their testimony, are indicating to us that yes, salvation has already taken place. All that God did in baptizing them with the Holy Spirit at their salvation took place. Them being adopted into his family, them being placed into his kingdom, has already taken place. And so what we are indicating this morning by the waters of baptism is that they're indicating to each of us as testimony that they are children of God and that they want to walk with him and be obedient to him. John's baptism fits what we are going to see in all of the New Testament, and indeed in all the first two centuries of the Christian era as well, before all of a sudden some error teaching came in. And so throughout the New Testament, we see that testimony of baptism is taught. The way of salvation is repentance and faith in Christ, not ethnic identity or birth to Christian parents. God calls us today, no matter who our parents were, no matter what ritual we received as infants, God calls us today to repent and believe in Christ alone for salvation, and to receive the new sign of that commitment made in repentance and faith baptism. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, about a 70-mile journey that he took, depending on where John was baptizing. And so we're not sure exactly where John was baptizing at the Jordan River. And Jesus wanted John to baptize him, but John tried repeatedly to prevent him. As for Jesus, it was not a baptism of repentance. And so John here up to this time was preaching a baptism of repentance, that first of all, you need to repent and believe, and then salvation follows. But we know that from Jesus, he was perfect. He was without sin. For we know from 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. And so he did not need to be baptized in repentance because he was already perfect. The law included no requirements about baptism, so Jesus could not have had in view anything pertaining to Levitical righteousness. But John's message was a message of repentance, and those experiencing it were looking forward to a coming Messiah who would be righteous and who would bring in righteousness. If the Messiah were to provide righteousness for sinners, he must be identified with sinners. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgression. Here is a king who identifies with his subjects. And so here this morning, as children of his, he identifies with us and desired to identify with us. He identified with publicans and sinners because they were the ones that were being baptized, the very people he came to save. Baptism means identification, and identification was the primary purpose for the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was not baptized to set an example for us. He was baptized to identify himself with humanity. His baptism was the inauguration of Jesus' ministry to the world as well and to Israel. He also pictured his future baptism on the cross, as we read in Luke 12, verse 50. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. And so, yes, we're looking forward through baptism, and we do look at baptism with an angle towards the cross as well. As he died, was buried, and rose again, we are picturing that in our baptism as well. And then he also demonstrated for us his humility for us as well. And so he calls us to be obedient to him. And so if we are children seeking to walk in obedience with him, then one of the things that we need to think about and consider is baptism. In fact, Philip with the eunuch, when all of a sudden, when he shared the gospel with him, the eunuch said, "Here is water, what doth hinder me from being baptized?" And we can say the same thing this morning, especially as we contemplate the river as well, that there is water, what doth hinder you from being baptized and seeking to follow the Lord in obedience to him. Today we will have a baptism testifying that each of these candidates has come to faith and are children of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit who has sealed them. They are not perfect, but they want the world to know that they belong to him and God is about his sanctifying work in their lives. They call on the church to walk with them with encouragement, blessing, and gracious instruction. And so they're stepping forward in obedience to his command. And that's what they are testifying here this morning, is they want you to walk with them. Because as they came to salvation, they were added to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a unique indwelling picture for us, that we need all the parts of the body to work together. And we need the parts of the body to walk in obedience to his command. And so at this time, we will begin, and I will call up Thomas, and then Dakota, Ethan, Caleb, Acacia, and Natalie. And I will not announce them. They just can come up and follow each other up.